Today, after service, is Book Sunday. The book study, I mean, I'm sorry. Also, this is Graduation Sunday, and Cassie will be telling us about that. Lastly, I'd like you all to save the date of August 21st for a picnic after the services. Thank you.
Well, good morning. We're going to do something special here this morning. Wait 1 second for our screen to come up. All right, Logan, if you would come forward. I don't want to put you on the spot, but if you'll come up here just for a minute. I'm going to go ahead. I don't know how well everyone can see, so I'm going to go ahead and just read a little short bio about Logan, if that's okay with everyone. So, a 2022 honor graduate of Boardman High School. During high school, Logan has been active in Boardman's music programs. He has played drums and percussion for marching band, symphonic band, jazz, and orchestra. Logan was section leader during his senior year of marching band and participated in the Project Mayhem Orchestra show during his junior and senior years. He's been a band manager for 3 years and was selected as head manager his senior year. Logan has also been active in Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts since elementary school and earned his Eagle Scout rank at the age of 16. Logan enjoys cooking, video games, outdoor activities, and working with his hands. He has participated in the United States Marine Corps Delayed Entry Program for the past year, and in June of this year will leave for boot camp to officially begin his service with the Marines. During his military service, Logan will be trained as an aviation mechanic, which is his chosen career path. So let's give a round of applause for Logan. It's a lot of awesome accomplishments. And I feel, and I'm sure those of you do as well, that this is just the start of a lot of really awesome things in Logan's life. So we got you something from the church here. If you want to take that with you. This, I want you to use that gift when you open it. It will help you in everything that you need to do in your life. So congratulations. Congratulations to Logan. I'll let you sit down. I won't make you stand up here. I won't make him stand up here forever. Okay. So, we have one more person, okay? So we want to honor, Sarah graduated last year, but we want, come on, Sarah. Sarah graduated last year, but we want to make sure that she knows how much that we love and support her and that we are also praying for her on her journey. So if you'll look up here, Sarah is a 21 graduate of Poland Seminary High School. Sarah won a Silver Key Award in the Scholastics Art and Writing Competition for a clay pot that she made. This was one of several awards she won for her artwork. She is currently attending Youngstown State University studying art education. Sarah hopes to be an art teacher and pass along her love of art to all of her students. So let's give a round of applause for Sarah. All right, I want to take a moment this morning, if you'll join me, and I want to pray for our graduates. And I want them to know that as a church, we are going to be praying for them and that we want to be a support to them as they enter into this new journey, as they start going towards their careers and adulthood, and to know that we are going to be here supporting and cheering them on. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning and we thank you for Logan and we thank you for Sarah. We know that you created them and that you have huge plans for them and that they can't even imagine the journey they're about to enter and the things that you are going to call them to do if they remain faithful to you. So God, we ask that you would have your hand of protection upon them and let them know that their church family is here supporting and praying for them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, if you would stand with me this morning, we are going to go to our call to worship. Our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 85, verses 6 and 7. Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, Lord, and grant us your salvation. You may be seated. So our theme for this morning is resurgence. So each week we've had different themes, right? I know it sounds repetitive, but they say an adult learner needs to hear something 7 times before they really absorb it, right? So this is what, week 5, so we're almost there. So we've prayed for direction. We have prayed for protection. We have prayed for revelation. We have prayed for, and now we're praying for resurgence. We've prayed for many things over the past couple of weeks, and we are doing this in conjunction with the Church of the Nazarene and USA and Canada, because we are asking God to do something, and we are asking Him to use us to do it. We want to be disciples who make disciples. And so we've talked about this the last couple of weeks, that the Church of the Nazarene and the church in general across the USA and Canada is seeing a decline, right? A decline that's not being seen in the church around the world. It's mainly being seen here. So last week what we talked about is we talked about renewal, and we talked about praying that God would renew us. But this week we are praying for a resurgence in the church. We have asked for His direction, we have asked for His protection, we've asked for His revelation, and now we are asking Him to cause a resurgence in the church. This world is a world that desperately needs the hope of Jesus. Our communities, the places that we live, our country is in desperate need of a resurgence and a renewal from Jesus. And we are the people that carry this hope, right? And so this morning we will focus on resurgence, and we will begin to pray for revival, and that we would begin to see growth in the kingdom once again. So this morning we will be in Matthew chapter 8. Verses 18 to 20. And you know what? This is going to be a familiar verse for a lot of us here today, because this is the Great Commission, right? This is what Jesus asked us to do. It's what we sang about this morning, right? He said, I'm going to leave for a little while, and I want you to tell the world about me. And that's the Great Commission. Verse 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So Jesus, He starts out in saying that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to Him. And then He gave three directives. The first directive that He gave was to go and make disciples of all the nations. The second was to baptize. And the third was then to teach these people the commands of Jesus and to obey Jesus' commands. But before He gave those commands, He used the word therefore, right? He said, therefore, following His statement about authority. And what that means, He is saying that, hey, I have all authority in heaven and in earth. And because I have all authority in heaven and earth, I am asking you to do this. I'm giving you a very important job. And so the job that He gave the disciples was not just for the disciples in that room, right? He said, I want you to make disciples of all the nations. And so that's what they did. Those disciples, they began making disciples, who made disciples, who made disciples, who made disciples, all the way till right now to us. And so this commission, Jesus hasn't come back yet, right? So this commission is for us today as well. This calling to go and make disciples of all of the nations, to baptize people and to teach them the commands of Jesus, that is for us in these days as well. So we have to take this very seriously. So the job then of a disciple is to be like Jesus in the world. And so if the words were for those people, then they're for us too. So how do we go about making disciples of all the nations? How that seems like a very overwhelming task. You, as a person, as a disciple, I want you to go and make disciples of all the nations. It's overwhelming. And so we know in those days when those individuals heard that commission, they took it very seriously. And when they put that into practice, what happened? The church grew like wildfire, right? Overnight, the church grew like wildfire because those individuals took that commission from Jesus to go tell the world about Him so seriously. So because of that, we know that it can be done. We know that it's not an impossible task. Why? Because with God, all things are possible, right? And so we can be disciples who make disciples of all the nations. But how do we do it, right? Well, we have to think about who was our example. Who was the greatest example of making disciples of all the nations? Jesus. Last week, we talked about a word. We said imitatio Christi, right? An imitator of Christ. As a Jesus follower, we are to be imitators of Christ. And if we are true imitators of Christ,
we will begin to make disciples of all the nations. Why? Because we're going to be like Jesus. And so we have to think about this. How did Jesus go about making these disciples? He went to people and he said, hey, come follow me. Come follow me and live life with me, and I am going to make you a disciple. And so now, we don't say, hey, come follow me and be like me on this journey, right? But if we're going to be true disciple makers, we need to go to where the people are, and we need to say, hey, why don't you come do life with me? And we're going to follow after Jesus together, right? And so that is how we become disciple makers. Now, we live in a culture, and I know we've talked about this before. I think I've called it the garage door culture, right? Where people can come right into their garage and walk right into their home and never meet their neighbors. And so we live in a culture that lacks community at times. Now, there are places that community is happening, true and beautiful community. And what's sad to say in our current state and the USA and Canada is that it's not in our churches. It's other places. And so what does that mean for us as believers? It means that we can't just sit here and just say, oh, I hope that they come here. Oh, I hope that they would walk through the door, because if they do, I'll ask them to do life with me. I'll disciple them then when they come through the door. No. It means that we have to go to the places where community is happening, right? We need to go to the places where the people are and then invite them to do life with us. If we are to make disciples of all the nations, we can't focus on everywhere else, right? We need to focus first in our own community, the place where we live. And we can't expect the people to come to us. We have to go to the people, and we need to be intentional about our interactions. There's a new book out. It's called Find Your People. I bought it. I haven't read it yet because my stack is big, and I've kind of told myself you have to finish everything you've started before you can start something else. But I listened to a podcast about it, which is why I purchased it. And it talks about the lack of community in the world and the way that people are desperate for it. They want connection with other people. We want connection with other people, but they're not quite sure how to do it. So this book explains how to find your people. It talks about simple things like, hey, you know what? I'm going to the grocery store. Do you want to come with me? Hey, I am going to go grab a cup of coffee. Do you want to go with me? Talks about how maybe I work from home now, so this doesn't work as much for me as it used to. But when I left my house to go to work, I would go often to the same places. I would go to the same place to get coffee, right? And so using that as an example, we go to the same places every day. We interact with people. Instead of, hey, I'm going to go in, I'm going to get what I need, I'm going to get out of there, let's go in and be intentional in our interactions. Introduce ourselves to people. Get to truly know the people that we interact with on a daily basis. Maybe, Brian and I are very intentional about this. We're not doing so great at it now because you know, grocery delivery. But before grocery delivery, right, we had a favorite cashier at Walmart. We loved her. Her name was Miss Helen. She's since gone to be with Jesus. But we made it a point that we were going to go to her checkout line every single time we went to the store. And when we did, we were going to ask about her family, and we were going to see how she was doing, and we were going to have a relationship with Miss Helen, right? And so maybe you have the same opportunities. You know, you go to the same stores. We're creatures of habit, right? And you're going to say, you know what? I'm going to go to the same cashier every time. I'm going to make it my intention that I form a relationship with that person. Or it could be anything. You know, maybe you're sitting on the sideline of the Little League game, and instead of, you know, scooting your chairs all the way to the end to sit alone, it's moving closer to other people and having intentional interactions with people. This is how we make disciples. We join people exactly where they are, right? And then we begin to do life with them, and we invite them into our lives. Oftentimes, it's hard for us to do that because we're so, it's so ingrained in us that things have to be perfect before people can come into our life. I'm going to tell you right now, it's never going to be perfect. I'm going to tell you right now, in my dining room, there is a mound of laundry on that table that's never ending. And if I were to wait till that was gone to invite people into my home, then you know what? I'd never invite them in. That's the season of life I'm in. And so sometimes it's being vulnerable about those types of things. You know, I'm a mom. I'm going to connect with other moms, and those are going to be my people right now because that's the season of life that I'm in. It's finding the season of life that you're in and looking around and see who's on this journey with me right now. How can we come together and form community? And out of that community, how can I be a disciple maker among these people? And I'm going to tell you, when you live your life with that type of vulnerability, when you live your life with that type of intention, you will begin to see things change. You will begin to have conversations with people that you never dreamed that you would have, and you would begin to share the love and the story of Jesus in ways that you never imagined that you would, because you simply opened up your life and said, hey, come join me on this journey and let's follow after Jesus together. And so that's what it means to be a disciple maker. Now, I want us to be careful. We need to be so careful that in our effort to be intentional, that we don't become strategic, right? Because we can be intentional in our interactions and be so genuine in our love for the Lord and inviting people to come with us along this journey. But we have to be careful that we don't become strategic, that we don't say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to serve in this way so that you will then do this. I want you to come to my church, and that's what I want, because I want the seats to be full, and so I'm going to do this in order to get you there. That's called being strategic, and we don't want to be strategic. We want to be intentional. We want to love people genuinely out of the outflow of the Holy Spirit that is living within our life, so that we are so full of Him, and we are such imitators of Jesus, and we look so much like Him that we can't help it but love others in the way that He would love. You know, think about your day. I want you to start thinking about your day. Think about the typical things that you do. And then think about ways that you can begin to be intentional in your interactions. And then, as you begin to do this, as you begin to share meals with people, as you begin to invite people in, as you are making, you know, these new interactions on the side of the softball field or wherever you are, I want you to allow God to open your heart to have these conversations. And when God begins to move and when He's doing things in your life, give Him the credit for it. Say, hey, this is a result of what God is doing. And it's something that only He could do. Because as people begin to hear those stories, their hearts will begin to be changed. You know, Jesus, He didn't have a foolproof formula, right? In interacting with other people. There's nowhere in Scripture that we can really find that He said, do this, 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 and this, and then people will become a disciple. No, right? He met people exactly where they were. And what the cool thing about that is, while He met them exactly where they were, and He said, come as you are, He loved those people way too much to leave them there. He couldn't leave them the way that they were, because an encounter with Jesus means you're going to change. It means something is going to begin to happen in your life. So this is where the next command comes into place, right? Or commission, more so their commissions. So Jesus first said, I want you to go and make disciples of all the nations, right? But then He said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We have got to be loving people. We have got to be sharing Jesus. But as people come to know Jesus, we should be baptizing them. Jesus, you know, He didn't wait for a special service to do this. People didn't take a class. It wasn't a whole thing. He said, you've come to know Jesus. Let's get baptized, right? And so this podcast that I was talking to you about earlier, I really love it. It's called the Whoa, That's Good podcast, and it's with Sadie Robertson, and that family is just a really unique family. And she was talking about when she was in high school, she had a Bible study, and she had begun to invite these girls to come and to do life alongside her and learn about Jesus together. And they were out in the community doing this Bible study, and someone would come to know Jesus. She'd call her mom and she'd say, we're on our way. I'm going to baptize people in the bathtub. I'm baptizing people in the bathtub. And that really spoke to me because that's intention. That's intention in loving people to say, you have come to know Jesus, and that is so exciting. Let's do this thing. Let's baptize you. Let's get that done. Let's let you have that public profession of your faith. And, you know, baptism is a beautiful sacrament, right? It's a beautiful sacrament. You go down into the water, or maybe you're sprinkled with it, or maybe it's poured. And as that happens to you, you are literally going in an old creation, and you are dying to that person. But when you raise up out of that water, you are brand new, right? The old has gone, and the new has come. And I have to tell you, I don't see as many baptisms happening. I don't see it. I don't see the excitement. When someone comes to Jesus, we should be saying, you have come to know Jesus, and that is exciting. Let's do something about it. Let's have a baptism. Let's do it. The old has gone and the new has come. You are a brand new creation. And so Jesus, he said, hey, I'm calling you to this. And so as we begin to see new people come into the kingdom, let us as a church be more diligent in baptism. Let us be more diligent to say, hey, let's do this thing. And it doesn't have to be, okay, we're going to do this and we're going to talk about it for 6 weeks and then we're going to have a big service. And you know what? While it's wonderful to have baptism services. And I think that's a beautiful thing. And it's a way that gives people an opportunity, right? To say, hey, I've never been baptized. I'd like to be. But I would love to see more of, hey, let's do this. Let's get baptized. Let's make it happen. I don't know that we'll have people lining up to be baptized in the bathtub, right? But let's have that kind of intention and that kind of love for others and that kind of excitement about what's happening in their life, that we make these opportunities happen. Let's pray for that type of resurgence. Let's pray for that type of new thing to happen. And as we make these intentional relationships and interactions with people, that they would come to be baptized. And let's get creative in our witness. Right? That's pretty creative in your witness to baptize people in the bathtub, right? Let's get creative in our witness and do new things. Let's not be content to do things the way that we have always done them before. And then the final command or commission that Jesus gave was to teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Well, I started to think about this. Everything that I have commanded you. Gosh, they spent a lot of time with Jesus. He must have said to them so many things. But then I'm reminded, what was the greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That sounds so simple, and really it is. All that God desires of us, all that Jesus desires of us, is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. And you know what? The love your neighbor as yourself part isn't so hard to do when we do the first part. We don't have to think about, well, who's my neighbor? You know, I talked yesterday about a scripture on Facebook, and the question was asked in the Good Samaritan. Okay, you want me to love my neighbor, but who's my neighbor? Hey, your neighbor's everybody you come in contact with. Every single person is made in the image of God, whether they like it or not. We are all born with the fingerprints of God on our DNA. And we begin this journey back towards the Lord from the moment that we're born. And the Holy Spirit begins to pursue us with his prevenient grace, right? The grace that goes before. We are all made in the image of God. And because of that, we are all worthy of the love and the grace of Jesus. And so, when we love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength, we will not be able to help but love our neighbor as ourselves. It is just going to flow through us. It's going to ooze out of us, and we will just be loving everyone. Why is that? Because we will be imitators of Jesus. And what did Jesus do? But he loved people. Well, what are the kind of people that Jesus loved, right? Jesus loved the marginalized. Jesus loved the people on the fringes. Jesus loved the people that were kind of, you know, were kind of gross, right? He loved the people that did terrible things. He loved the people that did wonderful and beautiful things. He loved the religious leaders just as much as he loved the tax collectors. He loved, you know, the woman at the well. He loved all of these people so much. And that comes from an outflow of the Holy Spirit, right? And if Jesus is our example, if he's the person that we should be following after, and if we want to be the imitators of Christ, then these are the people that we should be loving as well. And this is the way that we should be loving. We should be loving those on the fringes. We should be loving those that are right next to us. We should be loving the people in our own homes, and sometimes that's the hardest one, right? We should be loving everyone with the love of Jesus. And finally, Jesus said to the disciples, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Jesus commissioned us, he commissioned these disciples to do three things, right, that were super important jobs, and he wanted those things to be completed prior to his return. So that means we're still working on them. But he didn't say, "Hey, I commission you to do this. I'm going to leave for a while. Figure it out on your own. When I get back, you better have the job done," right? No, he didn't do that. He said, "I commission you to do these things. They're very important. I need them to be done before I get back, but I'm also going to stay here with you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be doing this work alongside of you, and we are going to get it done in that way." You know, Jesus doesn't need our help. God does not need our help. But he desires that we would come alongside and work with him. He invites us to join him. And you know what? He's already at work in the world. He's already doing amazing things, things that we can't even imagine. But he asks us to pray in intentional ways and say, "Hey, I know you're already at work. Where is that? How can I join you there? How can I become a part of that?" When we begin to pray those types of prayers, when we begin to live with that type of intention, we will see a resurgence in the church like we have never seen. We will begin to see revival, and we will see the church grow the way that it did in the early days, because we will be so sold out that we won't be able to stop, and people will say, "Oh, you're so busy. Oh, you can't do it." And you know what? Like we said last week, we'll be able to say, "Guess what? It's not my fire. I can keep doing this because Jesus is walking alongside me. He is helping me. He is encouraging me. And he is teaching me how to continue to love my neighbor in ways that change the world." God promises us that he will stay with us. "Surely I will be with you even to the very end of the age." We need to move with urgency, right? We need to move with urgency because we don't know how much time we have left, right? We need to speak with boldness. We need to speak the words that God has given us with boldness, and we need to love people radically. We need to love people in ways that they say, "Oh my gosh, what is this type of love? I haven't experienced it." We need to love people radically. So this week, as you leave this place, I want to challenge you. And I want to challenge you to love and to live intentionally. I want you to look around your everyday and ordinary life, and I want you to see, who are the people that I can begin to invite on this journey with me? Who can I say, "Hey, come with me. We're going to follow after Jesus," right? And maybe you won't be able to say it in that way, but you can say, "Hey, come do life with me." And as you follow after Jesus, the people that are doing life with you, they're going to see where you're going, and they're going to say, "You know what? I want to go there too." And then as that begins to happen, you can say, "Okay, all right, you've made this decision. You know, let's get baptized, right? Let's get baptized. Let's do this thing together. And now I'm going to disciple you so that you will begin to obey the commands of Jesus. And as I do this, hey, I'm going to challenge you now. You look around your life and you begin to see people that you can love intentionally." And that is how the church capital C, the body of Christ, is going to grow, right? Christ wants to come back and he wants to find his bride ready. He wants to find her ready. And we cannot be found ready if we are not doing the things that he has commissioned us to do. So get to know your neighbors, right? Interact with your cashiers. Interact with the place that you get your coffee. Get to know your waitress, right? Allow people into your life and invite them on the journey. You know, it's not likely going to work if we just sit here and expect that people will come. It's not likely going to work. The only thing that is going to work is if we get up and as we leave this place, we are sent people, sent and commissioned to do the work of Jesus, to fulfill the commission that he has given us, to make disciples of all the nations. So some music is going to play, and we're going to spend our time in communion. And I want you to just really think about the fact as you come forward to take your elements that we have an open table in the Church of the Nazarene, that all people are welcome to come forward and partake of communion together. And I want you to be so thankful for the grace that was freely given to you and pray and ask God, hey, show me how I can be intentional and who I can be intentional with, right? And how I can then invite these people to our open table to take of these elements that they might experience the same grace and the same forgiveness that I have been given. So as the music plays, pray those prayers. And then come forward and take your communion. And following communion, we will pray a closing prayer together. Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning and we are so thankful to be here in this place and to just be worshiping you alongside one another as one body. God, we love that we can come to this place and that we can be together as believers. But God, we know that you have commissioned us to be sent people. I ask, Lord, that you be with each person that was here and the people that are watching online. And as we go from this place, Lord, that you would help us to take this call and commission so seriously that we would begin to make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them and teaching them of your commands. Lord, we ask that you help us to just find those people and invite them on the journey and be intentional in our love for you and our love for others. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.